Amen. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to take just a little bit of time tonight. I'm not going to take forever. A little bit of time tonight. We're going to do a simple teaching on faith. I thought it was something that spoke to my heart this afternoon. I thought I would share it with you. This is what the Bible says. Paul, who had the same type of love and joy of these people, he says this. He says, "I'm very happy because you're living the way you should." I'm going to paraphrase a little bit as I go. This is Colossians 2, 5 through 7. He says, "You're living the way you should because of your strong faith in Christ." Everybody say, strong faith. Strong faith. Who's it in? All right, you're following. That's good. You haven't got turkey on the brain quite yet, do you? "Now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him and let your roots grow down deep." I love that. "Let your roots grow down into him. Draw nourishment from him so you'll grow in your faith." There it is again, growing in your faith. "Strong, vigorous in the truth, overflowing," he says, "with thankfulness." There's a cool word for the day, with thankfulness for all he has done. A lot of instruction that Paul drops on us right at once in this passage of Scripture. He talks about living in obedience. He talks about your faith being strong in Christ, your roots growing deep in Christ. Lots of great things he mentions here. Drawing up nourishment pulls out from Scripture. And the end result is why? So I can grow in my faith. Faith is so vital, so important. That's why I want to take a little bit of time tonight and teach them on it. I could have taught on Thanksgiving. That would still be a good message too, but I just felt in my heart this is where I wanted to lead. And so we're going to teach a little bit on faith tonight. I've got a working definition when I talk about faith. My working definition is this. Basing my life, how I live my life, how I speak, how I treat people, how I believe, how I see, basing my life on the truth that follow this, that God is who he says he is, and that he'll do what he has promised to do. That's real simple, right? I base my life on God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he promised to do. Very, 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 very simple. But that's my working definition of faith. Faith is so, so important. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're going to live your life in a way that's going to make a difference in this world, it's gonna happen through faith. Mountains, the Bible says, are moved. Why? Through faith. Storms are calmed by faith. You please God through faith. Your salvation works through faith. Healing comes through faith. Everything that God does in and through your life comes through faith. Prayers are answered. How? Through faith. And if you have weak faith, you're not doing much for the kingdom of God. If you have strong faith, this is what Paul said. I want to emphasize the strong faith here. The strong faith is what is important. The strong faith is where the end result and what the goal is. But again, I want to let you know something about faith. Faith is not a destination. Faith is a journey. Always remember that when it comes to hearing a preacher talk about faith. Remember that faith is not a destination. There's not a preacher on the planet who has figured this out completely, who has perfect faith. There was only one who had perfect faith. And even with his perfect faith, I'm talking about Jesus, even with his perfect faith, there was a moment where he prayed and God told him no. I'll get to that at the end. And so we're going to deal with this tonight. I think it's going to help you on a Thanksgiving Eve service. So we're going to deal and talk about faith. How can my faith grow? How can I put my faith in God? And if I want to have my faith in God, I want to have strong faith. How can I have this strong faith? Well, I'm glad I asked. First, remember this. Faith is always a response. Everybody say response. Faith is always a response to the promises of God. And this is so important for you to remember. Faith is always a response to the promises of God. God has given his promises. Where has he placed these promises? I'm holding it. It's right here. In the Word of God. In his word, that's where he's placed his promise. How many of you are thankful that God's not just a promise maker, he's a promise keeper? But he's placed these promises in this book, and in this book, he shows us who he is, his character. He shows us his love. He shows us his strength, and he says, I want your faith to be based on the promises that I've placed in this book, in this word. This is where you're going to learn all who I am. This is where we're going to connect, and this is where your faith is going to grow and develop. It's through the promise. In this book, you learn about promises of his presence, promises of his love, promises of his grace, promises of his salvation for us, promises of his spirit flowing in and through us. All of these amazing promises, his guidance, his direction. But apart from these promises, Apart from these promises, I can't have faith that something's going to happen. It has to be based as a response on the promises of God. Otherwise, I don't have faith. I have hope. There's a difference. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But we know what something will happen when? When God promises it. That's when we know something will happen. It's when God has spoken, when God has promised, when God has said, this is going to take place. I give you my word. Then you can bank on it. Then you can go to his word and you can have faith that that's going to take place. Think about all the people. We're going to look in Hebrews 11 in a moment. Think about all the people. A lot of them you're real familiar with. A lot of them you're very aware of. You got Noah, you got Abraham, you've got Moses. Hebrews 11 is a chapter of faith. All of these amazing people who did these wonderful works of God had great faith, so much faith that God decided to recognize it even beyond their original stories. They're mentioned multiple times. That's a big deal in Scripture. And so God says, I'm going to recognize them for their faith. All these people of faith, and they had example. I've always wondered if I had the kind of faith that I could have been listed in Hebrews chapter 11, or if you could have the kind of faith that could have been listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So every one of these people, the one common denominator is they all had a moment where they were faced with a choice, and God gave them a promise, and they responded to that promise. Let's think about Noah. I saw a guy who was just at the Creation Museum, and he was taking his kids through a tour of Noah's Ark today, and it reminded me of this. So think about this. So it wasn't like Noah was sitting around with his sons, and he looks at Earth, and he goes, man, Earth is a disaster. This place is a mess. All these people that God created are jerks. What are we going to do? You know what God needs? He needs to start over. So, boys, let's get together. What can we do? It wasn't like they had this conversation. Sham, what do you think? What should we do? I don't know. I think we ought to, just blow everybody up. Well, thanks for that, Sham. That was a great idea. Somebody else. Oh, let's flood the place. Flood. Oh, yeah, great idea. Maybe if we build an ark, then God will send a flood. No. Why did Noah build the ark? Because God promised, hey, Noah, I'm about to send some rain. It doesn't make sense for Noah to build an ark if God had not first sent the promise. Again, faith is a response to a promise of God. Hebrews 11:7, it was by faith that Noah built an ark. He obeyed God. Noah didn't build this ark because he thought he could manipulate or convince God or force God using his faith to do something that God had not already promised himself he would do. This is Noah's response to God. He responded to God's promises. That's what the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is about. People who responded to the promises of God. They believed that God's promise was truth so much that they devoted their life to it and responded completely to it. Hebrews 11:11, Abraham believed that God would keep his promise. So God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to promise you this amazing land. And then Abraham left. Abraham didn't leave his home hoping that if he leaves, then maybe God will give him something new. No, the reason Abraham left his homeland was because God had already promised him something better. So his faith was based on a promise. He was responding to what God had spoken to him. And so that makes all the difference when God's already given you a word and then you respond. This is the example that Abraham gave us. You could look at so many different examples that aren't listed. You got Gideon. Gideon, he took his army and marched into the enemy that had him completely outmatched and outnumbered. Why in the world would you do that unless God hadn't first already promised him victory? So it makes sense when God gives you a promise. It still doesn't make sense to the natural eye, but God had given him a promise that, Gideon, I'm going to give you victory today. And so Gideon said, you know what? I trust God. I respond to the promise of God. God, I believe your word more than I believe what I'm facing. The ability to overcome comes through responding to God's promise. And so Gideon shows us another example. There's another example. Joshua in the Old Testament took people and marched around Jericho. Why in the world would you take a bunch of people and start marching? That's what crazy people do. You do that because God promised, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I'll tear the walls down. If you want walls torn down in your life, if you want walls torn down and breakthroughs to happen, you have to first base your faith as a response to a promise that God has spoken. Faith is a response to who God is and what he has promised. And this is unlike having faith and trying to tap into some force, like from Star Wars. Well, if I can just, feel the force, then I can make things happen. That's so crazy. But a lot of people find it that I find people treating faith that that's how it works. And so what ends up happening is people have this me first mentality when it comes to faith. And whenever me first mentality faith, me first faith doesn't move mountains. It has to be a God first faith. And so if you're trying to force God to do something that he hasn't promised to do, that's a me first faith. And you're not going to move anything with me first faith. It's going to have to be based on a promise from God. And a lot of people struggle with this because a lot of us have gotten, in the United States especially, we're very comfortable and we love control. We like to know when things are going to happen, how they're going to happen, how they're going to work out. Whenever something starts to break down, people lose it. They go nuts. Today, I had to deal with that. I had a laundry machine that just went completely nuts. I posted an Instagram story about it. We were watching TV and it was just like a train running through my house. It was so stinking loud and crazy. And it's been driving me nuts ever since then, getting quotes and all this kind of stuff. It's craziness. It's Thanksgiving, so we're hoping to catch a Black Friday sale, all right? But you treat, you know, a little moment like that like it's the end of the world. That's because we're Americans, and we've got it made. And everything is we think we can just control. Well, when it comes to faith, you can either be in faith or you can be in control, but you can't be both. It can't be both. You either have faith in God that he's in control, that he's in charge, that his word is true, or you can be in control and you get what you get. It's just a good, healthy reminder, but you can't have faith. You can't have both. Faith places God's word in control. If I'm going to have faith that grows, if I'm going to have faith, this is a good refresher for Thanksgiving Eve. If I'm going to have faith that is strong, rooted in Christ, how do I get this kind of faith? First and foremost, start with your foundation. And this is very, very vital. For your faith to grow, the foundation has to be Jesus. Has to be Jesus. This isn't Josh's little nugget of truth and Josh's little Wednesday night wisdom. That's not what this is. Even though I kind of like what I just said, that was kind of a cool phrase. Wednesday night wisdom. Not going to go with it. This is straight from the Word of God. For faith to grow, the foundation has to be Jesus. And this is the reality of it. I know too many people that have placed their faith in a person. They've placed their faith in a pastor, maybe a popular pastor, maybe a local pastor. And that's not God's best. And it's not that these people are faulty and will fail you. I know many men and women of God, great men and women of God, who have not failed me. But yet one day they still will ultimately leave me. Can't help it. We're mortal. And so God says, don't place your faith in a person. Don't place your faith in an individual. I know a lot of people who've placed their faith in a church. And in a lot of ways, that church did not fail them. But yet then they end up relocating. They move away. And because their faith was based on the church. And in that moment, they get pulled from that church, or they leave that church, or in some cases, the church hurts or wounds, and, you know, people aren't perfect and stuff happens. And all of a sudden, they've fallen far, farther from God, and their faith's weak. Their roots are pulled up. I see this happen over and over and over again, and it's a struggling thing. It's just like this do-it. We live in a real do-it-yourself society right now. Everything is based on do-it-yourself. I love shopping online. I love it. It's my favorite thing now. I used to like going to the stores and shopping, but I don't like doing that anymore. I like going online. One of my favorite places is Wayfair. Anybody know what Wayfair is? You know the jingle, Wayfair, you got... Nobody knows that. There's like, you got just what I need. All right, you need to watch more TV. So Wayfair, they're a furniture place, and they have everything. I mean, you can spend days looking through all their furniture. When you look up a rug, you don't just see 30 rugs. You see 30,000 rugs. And it's amazing. I'm like, oh, I want to see gray rugs. 15,000 gray rugs. Scroll, 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 scroll. Love it. All right. Problem is this. When you order something from Wayfair, it shows up in a box. I'm like, dear God. I'm ordering all this furniture. I ordered furniture for my office, and it showed up in like 17 boxes. I'm like, dear God, it was like 3 days of putting this together. If I order a shirt from Amazon, they don't send me a box of string and some instructions. Sew it. That's why I prefer to buy furniture from a place that's going to actually deliver the couch, ready to go. I can sit on it the day I get it instead of have to put it together. It's this do-it-yourself mentality, and a lot of people have a do-it-yourself mentality when it comes to their faith. They think they can take a little bit of this and they can take a little bit of that. And they can think they can put it all together. Problem is at some point, whenever you have this do-it-yourself mentality with faith, eventually it's going to break down. If I'm going to have strong faith, I want my faith on a foundation built by the one who created, by the one who invented, by the one who gives life, by the one who speaks life, by the one who can do the impossible. I want my faith based on one who can't fail, who won't leave, who won't bail, who won't walk away. who's always there, always will be there, who knows everything about me and still loves me anyway. That's why I want my faith based on. If your faith is going to grow, it has to be on a foundation of Jesus. And I also see this. Listen, I've heard faith being taught for my entire life, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, my faith grew because God answered my prayer. I got the job I wanted. That's not good enough. It's not. Thank God that you got the job you wanted, but that's not why your faith should grow. My faith grew because I got what I prayed for when I wanted it. That's not why you have faith. That's not why your faith should grow. Because there are some, listen, if your faith only grows every time God says yes to your prayers, that's a problem. Because some of us pray some selfish, stupid prayers that God's most certainly going to say no to sometime. So when he says no, and you think he's supposed to say yes because I asked you, and if I asked you, aren't you God, and I told you what I wanted, and aren't you supposed to do what I want? And God says, no, I'm God, you're not, you're Josh. Shh, get back on Wayfair for a few minutes. Oh, so those are good intentions, but that's not why faith grows. Faith should not be an externally motivated factor. Faith should grow because of what's on the inside. My faith grows because of Jesus Christ. I base my faith on a foundation of something that cannot ever be taken from me. You can't take Jesus from me. I can lose anything and everything, but you can't take Jesus from me. See, the same thing applies when it comes to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, we're going to sit around the table and we're going to eat good food and we're going to be thankful for so many things, and that's wonderful. We should be thankful. But you keep in mind that there are people maybe even across the street or down, you know, the road or in the same region or across the world. They're going to be just as thankful as you are with half the stuff or nothing. And they are just as thankful because their Thanksgiving isn't based on what they have, what they don't have, what they want. It's not based on anything that could be taken from them. Their Thanksgiving is based on Jesus and Jesus alone. And you can't take my salvation. You can't take my eternal life. You can't take my peace. You can't do that. And so faith should always be based on something internal. That is why we have faith. My foundation is Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:14. If Jesus hadn't been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. If Jesus had not been raised, then our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. If that's all Jesus did was to die on the cross for our sins and prove who he was by raising from the dead 3 days later, the resurrection, that should be enough for us tomorrow morning when we wake up to drop to our knees first thing and say, thank you. On this Thanksgiving day, thank you. Because that is enough. If I don't have another thing, if I only get one plate of turkey today and not 10, if I only get one slice of pie and it's a tiniest piece, thank you. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my sins being forgiven. That old rugged cross you died on was my cross too, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that today you're my Lord. That's enough. Hebrews 4:14, that's why we have a great high priest who's gone to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let's cling to him. Let's never stop trusting him. Evaluate your faith. What's the foundation? What's the foundation? Is it based on what you want? Is it me first? Is it my do-it-yourself mentality, trying to take a little bit here and a little bit there? I'm trying to use the force and manipulate God into getting what I want from him. Again, based on that scripture, what are you clinging to? Let's cling to him and never stop trusting. What are you clinging to? If your faith is based on feelings more than it should be, you know, how I feel this day means I have good faith. How I feel this day means I have bad faith. If your faith is up and down because of your feelings, that's a problem. Make the foundation Jesus, and even on your worst days, your faith will be strong and it'll carry you through. It's very, very important. Your faith will grow. So make sure you start with your foundations. Check that foundation. It has to be built on Jesus. Second, live your life, base your faith, trusting God's promises. Put up 1 Peter 1:21. Through Christ, to this you are called because of Christ's suffering, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. In other words, there's another passage or another translation, New Living Translation. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and because God raised him from the dead, gave him great glory, your faith and hope can be placed confidently in God. So that means for me, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to fall on my knees and I'm going to say, thank you, God, for this great day. And then I'm going to immediately follow up with, God, I trust your promises. I trust your promises for my life. I trust that, God, you are who you said you are. I trust that you will do what you have promised in your word to do. That's living my life in faith. That's trusting God with my faith. I am trusting that God, not Josh, God is in control. And that God's plan, since he is in control, is a good plan for my life, is a blessed plan for my life. Is it always going to be perfect? Absolutely not. But I trust that God is good and his plan for my life is also good. Well, that leads me to a question. What can I expect from God then? If I'm trusting God and who he is, what can I expect from God? I'll tell you what you can expect. You can expect everything in this word that he has promised. Nothing more, nothing less. But you can expect everything in this word that he has promised. See, a lot of people get disappointed. A lot of people get angry at God because they've expected God to do something that he never promised. And then when he doesn't come through, they get angry. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a Los Angeles Laker. I still do. I would sit out on 518 Foster Road. My dad had, we drove by there the other day because after church Sunday, we went to the Ritter Park and got family pictures taken. It was a lot of fun, beautiful day. Thank God for a beautiful Sunday so we could get these pictures taken. But I grew up on the Fifth Street Hill right above Ritter Park in an older neighborhood now. But we loved my childhood up there. But it was on a hill, and my dad put this basketball goal, and we drove up by this house to show the kids, and that goal my dad put in there is still sitting there. If you can believe it, it's all rusted and nasty, but it was still sitting there. Man, I had the best memories and had the best time. I hit so many buzzer beaters in my imagination on that basketball goal, but I would sit out there and pretend back in the day it was Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson shooting me a pass, some no-look pass like this, just sweet. And I'd catch the ball, hit a fadeaway, win the game. And so when I was a kid, I was like, God, I have faith that I'm going to play for the Lakers. Got into high school. God, I have faith that I'm going to play for the Lakers. Josh, at 40 years old. God, I have faith that I'm still somehow going to play for the Los Angeles Lakers. Me and LeBron now. How ridiculous is that? It's like at some point I get angry at God and say, God, I've had faith for 30 years now. Great faith that I would play for the Lakers. God, why did I not play for the Lakers? Why didn't it happen, God? You're unjust. You're not good. It's like a 100-pound man trying to make it on a professional football team, having the faith. I mean, you're too little. You're too skinny. You're not going to play football. They're going to kill you. It's crazy. And so a lot of times we have faith in God, but in something that he never promised and something that we want. And so this leads me to this. Don't let your faith be destroyed by something God never promised to do anyway. A lot of people get wrecked by that. They place their faith and they want something that God never promised them to do, and then they get all struggling because it didn't happen and their prayers didn't get answered and the timing was wrong, and then now they're falling from God and they stop coming to church. And I'm like, did God promise that? Because if he didn't promise it, what are you upset for? Doesn't make any sense. God has not promised that he never promised to keep every single bad thing from happening in our life. He never promised that. He didn't. The bad things are going to happen. Life stinks sometimes. It happens. He never promised that. God never made that promise. Did God never promised to reverse every single problem or any kind of consequence from the sin and bad choices you've ever made in your life? God never made that promise either. But sometimes, because he's so good, his grace does that for us. Sometimes he does. But he never promised he would completely do that. Sometimes we got... Listen... There are times where God says, speak your faith, and he'll move that mountain, and he moves it himself. But then there are times God says, speak your faith and pick up a shovel and start digging. And he works through both. He does. He works through both. And so don't let your faith get destroyed by things that he's never promised. Again, you can have faith or you can have trust, or you can have faith or you can have control, but you can't have both. You can't have both. You either trust God or you don't trust God. Thank God. God loves us too much to answer some of our selfish prayers. I'm not even going to get into that. That's a whole other message. But so take a little trail for a second. I mentioned this earlier. So Jesus, imagine Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had perfect faith. He was anointed by God and was the Son of God, anointed by God. But he had perfect faith. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he's praying, and can you imagine what he's thinking in that moment? Jesus is thinking, all right, God, this cross thing that I'm about to go through, do you really think that in Jesus' mind, he's thinking, I'm looking forward to getting whipped and beat to death in front of everybody, publicly shamed and persecuted. No. That's why he said, Father, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way we can do this. So what would have happened if in the middle of that prayer, while Jesus is praying this way, God looks down and says, you know what? You're my son and you have perfect faith. And your perfect faith has moved me so much that now you can do anything you want. Live any other way you want. I'm cool with that. Nope. God looked at his own son, Jesus, who had perfect faith and said, no, this is my will. This is my purpose. This is what you're going to accomplish. This is what you're going to do. And so Jesus responded in faith and said, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Again, faith, trusting and responding to God. You know, a lot of us, if we were to be honest, a lot of our prayers would sound like this. God, I pray that my will, not thy will, be done this time. How do I know that you pray that way? I know it's because I pray that way sometimes. And I catch myself. I'm like, ha, 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 Josh, it's not how you're supposed to pray. God is checking my heart saying, Josh, not everything is, you know, I'm not going to say yes to everything you want when you want it. Oh, man. Yeah, that's God. He knows best. I trust him more than I trust myself. Hebrews 11:6, we'll read this again. So you see, it's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without faith, because anyone who wants to come to him, they have to believe that he's there, that he's God, and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So I've learned that God wants me to live my life on the truth that he is who he says he is, that he's in control, and that he'll do what he's promised to do. And when I get into this word and I learn these promises, then I can place my faith and respond to those promises. That's when I struggle with peace. I get in this word and I find that he's the Prince of Peace and he's promised me a peace that passes all understanding. And when I understand and receive that revelation that he's given me this promise, then I can ask in faith and believe and receive by faith. And the peace of God floods my heart, floods my mind. And it makes no sense, but I have peace. I have peace in the middle of a storm, in the middle of chaos, in the middle of a mess. I have peace. I smile when I shouldn't smile. I laugh when I shouldn't laugh. I have joy when it makes absolutely no sense. But that's faith in God. He's promised to guide. So if I don't have a promise, I don't know about the promise of his wisdom, of his guidance, I get in this word and I find that God has promised that he'll give me direction. That he said, ask me and I'll give you all the wisdom liberally. I'll pour it out on you so you'll know what to do. So you'll have peace. So there's no confusion. And in those moments when my head is spinning and I'm thinking I've got my list and I've got like 17 items on the left side and 15 items on the right side and I'm circling one and I'm crossing out the other, which one's best? The peace of God will say, no, I don't want you to do any of that. I'm going to guide you. You trust me. All right, God, thank you for your promise. I step out and respond in faith. This is trusting God. This is living by faith. God, you are in control. And I trust you. Again, faith is a response to the promise of God. I want my foundation built on Jesus, not something external, not because one day the bill got paid and the next day and my faith grew, but the next day the bill didn't get paid and I don't know why, but my faith shrunk. No, my faith is based on something not externally motivated or something that factors in. It's all on the inside. It's Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. That's where my thanksgiving is based. And then again, I am trusting, devoting my life to his promises. Everything that he's promised. Nothing more, nothing less.